This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
You can hear every NBA Finals game right here on ESPN 1000. Tonight at 7:30, we will have NBA Finals Game 1 pregame right here on ESPN 1000. It's Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Heat-Lakers Game 1 tonight as we head towards the finals. And the bubble has worked, and we've gotten to this point, and I'm thrilled that we have gotten to this point so we can actually have the NBA Finals. And if you didn't know, the finals are going to take place over the course of the next 2 weeks.
That's what's crazy to me.
They're using the normal final schedule, even though there is no traveling.
Ridiculous.
I would imagine that is to hype up each game in between.
But you don't need to do that. It's the finals. It comes pre-hyped.
No, but listen, there's so much going on right now that you need the day or two in between to get the storylines going, to get everyone focused in on what is taking place in the finals. If you just run through it, 1, 2, 3, it's going to be like the National League.
I don't need it. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Series. It's going to be over before you even know.
I don't need it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I just want, like, instead of playing tonight and then not playing again until Friday or Saturday? It's Saturday, right? They don't play again until Saturday.
Like, I think it's Friday, and then the next
Friday.
Game is Sunday.
So give me games 1 and 2, and then take 2 days off, and then play games 3 and 4, and then take a couple days off, and then...
Is that what they're doing? They're one game off in between 1 and 2.
No, it's too much.
Wait, what do you mean too much?
It's too
There's
much.
One game off in between 2 and 3.
It's too much. They play Wednesday, Friday, then they don't play... They play Sunday, then they
There's
play
one
Tuesday.
Day. Do you even know what you're talking
it's
about?
It's not. It's too much.
Tyler Aki's producing the show. Does Abdallah know what he's talking about
it's
here?
It's too much.
I don't know if he understands the math of this.
It's too much.
What do you mean too much? It's one
too
day.
Much.
You want him to play back-to-back in the finals?
Like a doubleheader?
Yeah. Play back-to-back.
Doubleheader.
Same day?
Play three-quarter doubleheaders.
Day night? What do you want?
Yeah.
I mean, what is this, an anti-you working thing? Do you want them to play all day long so then you don't have to work that
day?
No.
I want
to
work.
3-on-3?
Yeah, I mean, like, what's happening
here? I'm just saying you could be playing... You could play two games in a row. Like, what's the problem? Why aren't we playing back to back? Why are you stretching this out? Just play.
Because it's the finals.
So what? Just
it's the
play.
The NBA Finals.
Just
give
play.
A buffer day.
Just play.
Come on.
Just play.
What do you mean, just play?
Just play. There's no travel. What are you sleeping? They're sleeping in. What you got? Something to do?
Oh, they're getting ready.
Wait, you got pickleball matchups?
Game plan.
Mm.
Walkthroughs. Practice.
Yeah, great.
Got the whole thing. Media days. Come on. You got to work that in.
Okay.
All right. I like the Lakers in this series. I think the one thing to point to is the Heat clearly have the better all-around team, but depth in all-around team doesn't necessarily win you a championship. And I know that the two players for the Lakers that everyone points to, two of the five best players in the league, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they have been fantastic in the playoffs to this point. And what the key to me will be is when you see the other players, Caruso, Green,
Caldwell
there you
Pope.
Go. KCP.
Contavious
sure.
Caldwell Pope.
When you see them add in from deep and from scoring output, that's where you're going to see this Lakers team really set themselves apart from what the Heat have. Because we know that LeBron and AD are fantastic. And I don't think that Butler or Bam will be able to match the point output that LeBron and AD will, but the key will be, can the others outscore what the Heat are giving you from their others? And that's like, Danny Green is fantastic in big spots. He's good defensively. He's a smart player. He hits corner threes.
Mm-hmm.
Caldwell Pope, in the last series, almost hit everything he touched. And he was good in the open floor, and he was able to get steals and to allow LeBron to facilitate in the open court. And that just adds to it. And, you know, we saw Rondo here in the bubble. Rondo has been fantastic. And Rajon Rondo, for all the players in NBA history, his stats in the playoffs are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up when it matters. And I think that's all going to be way too much for the Lakers. to put on the Heat, and I don't think the Heat are going to have enough, even though I think that they have the better coach. I like their defense. I like Butler. I like Bam. I like Tyler Hero. I like what they have. I just don't think it's enough.
Do you put any stock into trends since they're in the bubble?
I know.
So, like, LeBron James is 1-8 straight up and 2-7 against the spread, and he's been outscored by a combined 57 points over 9 game ones of the NBA Finals.
Okay. LeBron shows up for game one.
No, he doesn't show up for game one. That's what I'm saying. Do you believe he will show up?
Say the number again.
LeBron James teams are 1-8 straight up, 2-7 against the spread.
Okay. How many of those have been against the Warriors?
I mean, probably a lot.
Half of them?
Yeah.
Three of them
at least? Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's a trend. But no, since they're in the bubble, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know if they, like, is he taking this Heat team more seriously? Because we saw them, they came out flat last series in the Western Conference Finals. And then now, are they going to come out and want to make a statement and say, look, let's just get our four games and get out of here so we can go home and be with our families. Like, let's just beat this team. Because the Heat, I feel like, are playing with house money. The Heat, I feel like anybody that's playing that's getting out of this bubble, the Heat are like Jimmy Butler and a bunch of dudes are coming together to try to beat the Lakers. And I feel like they're the team that's going to come out and try to make a statement in game one, where if a team's going to come out flat, it might be the Lakers.
Kentavious
Caldwell-Pope.
See, I got it that time. Pretty good, right? Can we play this since the NBA Finals start tonight? It's our favorite thing to play when the playoffs start. If we throw it back to Pitbull back in 2014, he sang the song that the NBA used on ABC for their playoff coverage, and we love it.
Playoffs, player, turn up, player. Cinco, cuatro, tres, dos, uno.
It's going down.
It's a jam. This is a jam. You better move. Get ready. Are the Twitchers ready?
Rebounds, dunks, passes, assists.
How the NBA does not use this. Still. For their intro for the NBA Finals, for any NBA playoff game, is outrageous to me.
I feel like they should use it tonight. You
bust
know, we're in this,
in
this weird situation. We're in this bubble. Yeah. I mean, it's Pitbull. He's Mr. 305.
It's so great. I love it.
I know they're not in Miami, but you know what I mean. They're in Florida.
So the game will be heard right here on ESPN 1000. Pregame starting at 7:30. We will talk college football next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Playoffs.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
We head into week 5 of the college football season. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. Man, last week in college football really felt like the first week that college football was back because the SEC was back.
That's mean. That's mean to the other conferences
that have
been playing.
I'm just saying, listen. I feel like ACC, Big 12, you brought a little bit. SEC comes back, it's like, okay, this is for real.
I feel like our college football friend on the line right now wouldn't appreciate you on other conferences like that.
I'm just saying, let's go to Dan Rubenstein from the Solid Verbal Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Rubenstein. Dan, did last week feel like the first week that college football is really back?
I mean, I'm ready to talk about the Pac-12 after that disrespect. yes. So to have the Big 12 and the ACC and the SEC all play conference games, there was a substantial nature to how Saturday felt that I don't think we've had. You know, you get a taste of Notre Dame, Duke, or something like that. It it doesn't fully quench my thirst. And last week, yeah, it sort of felt like wall to wall early on. You know, you had Florida Ole Miss, the Kentucky Auburn, the night game wasn't great with Florida State Miami, but you had block by block at college football Saturday. It felt real.
When you have Texas in a situation, in a high leverage situation like that, where then you can yell Texas is back into the abyss, that's when college football is truly back.
It's true. Or you can just yell Texas Tech is back, and it's just adding one word, and the general sentiment is there. Yeah, that was a wild ending. That was Texas really tried to give that away and then somehow found a way. So, yeah, Texas is back.
I think the most impressive thing from last weekend was clearly Mississippi State beating LSU 44-34 with Mike Leach in his first game with the Bulldogs. I mean, and I know it's easy to say, oh, here comes this air raid offense with Mike Leach. He's going to shake up the SEC. How long will it take for SEC schools to really just kind of limit what he's doing? Or will he have just massive success in the SEC?
Some of both. I think what happened with LSU was probably too much pride on the brain of Bo Pelini in doing what has always not worked against the system like the air raid, and that's trying to blitz it and open up grass for the air raid to just pick you apart. And Mike Leach has his own pride. If you drop a bunch of dudes in coverage and start confusing his quarterbacks, he sort of still refuses to run. So I think schools are going to figure that out. We've seen it from Pac-12 schools. We've seen it from the Washington defense year after year. He never managed to beat his cross-state rival when he was at Washington State. Jimmy Lake figured out pretty early on. And so there are smart defensive minds in the SEC. He's playing against a smart defensive mind this week in Barry Odom, the defensive coordinator for Arkansas. I don't love Arkansas and their potential to stop Mississippi State, but it's going to be not figured out, but it's going to be adjusted to pretty quickly because the tape is there about what slows down the offense. But what they were able to do against LSU, you're right, that was the story of that first week of SEC play. 623 yards, I want to say, for KJ Costello. I mean, that's cartoonish right out of the gate.
I hope we stick with a conference schedule or some form of conference schedule, because I love that teams have to go, you know, into every game knowing that they each game matters. Obviously, every week each game matters, but this is more of a, you know, regimented schedule where you're facing opponents that you see every single year, but you don't get the cupcake schools, you don't get to beat up on the Citadel unless you're Clemson, but also. At the same time, you get good matchups every week, you know, like Texas A&M and Alabama, Georgia and Auburn this week, where last week we had great matchups. And do you think that we're going to see a little bit more parity in college football this season because of the conference-only schedules?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we have some conferences that are going to be playing outside of the conferences like we've already seen. But in terms of a situation like what the SEC is doing, I think it's fantastic. And, yeah, we're going to have more losses because teams are not able to inflate their final record for bowl eligibility. And also, we're going to get potentially new rivalries out of this, because as conferences get bigger, we see matchups like Florida Ole Miss or Texas A&M Georgia or South Carolina Mississippi State, whatever. You don't get to see those in normal seasons. So the potential for bad blood arising, I think, is enormous, because at the end of the day, that's what really sells people on the sport. It's not as much, you don't want to win a Citrus Bowl as much as you want to just beat the tar out of your rival. And so if we get the potential for that, I think we're going to see more and more people in power take note of how excited people are to just get into it with the conference and not necessarily waste time, but not have buy-in like you do for cross-division or cross-conference matchups.
Talking college football with Dan Rubenstein here with Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. We have a couple of top 25 matchups this weekend and a top 10 matchup in the SEC. Auburn, the number 7 team in the country, going to Georgia to take on the Bulldogs, the number 4 team. What do you think of this matchup?
I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to see what Georgia does at quarterback. JT Daniels, the USC transfer, was cleared, although, you know, he's still probably somewhat rusty. He was cleared to practice, but he was not cleared to play. They obviously struggled at quarterback a bit last week with DeJuan Mathis getting the start, and then Stetson Bennett coming in. But Georgia was undisciplined and not fully prepared to run Todd Monken's new offense for Georgia. And then on the flip side, Auburn looked a bit sluggish themselves on offense against a pretty good Kentucky team before finding a little bit of a groove in the fourth quarter. It'll be fascinating to see. I think a big X factor in this is going to be what Bo Nix looks like. He had a down game at quarterback for Auburn last year. What does he look like in his sophomore season. He still has a new offensive line. He still has a new offensive coordinator. But is he a more mature thrower? Can he be more accurate downfield? Because opportunities against his Georgia defense are few and far between. So if situationally Bo Nix looks like an improved passer, I think Auburn has a really nice shot here in a rivalry game.
Spencer Radler, Brock Purdy, two quarterbacks enter, only one can leave. This looks like, I mean, on paper you see it one ranked school, one unranked school, but after Oklahoma loses last week, they drop to 18. This is going to be a great conference matchup in my mind. Out of these two quarterbacks, obviously Spencer Radler put up great numbers. He's got 8 touchdowns already. He's thrown 3 interceptions. But these, you know, two offenses and the lack of defense on Oklahoma should make this a great matchup. What do you think of this one?
Love it. Can't wait. Brock Purdy plays up to the best opponents and plays down sometimes to the team's worst or less exciting opponents. And Brock Purdy's had good games against Oklahoma. They came within one, I believe, last year. He led them back in a comeback effort that came up just short. But he can be excellent. We've seen some gigantic mistakes from him, which makes him a pretty entertaining quarterback. And in terms of ceiling, you have Spencer Rattler, who already has one of the best arms in the sport, already can make throws that very few can. And if he can get some seasoning under him, this is his first road tilt. And it's not going to be as difficult as it would be in a normal year with a packed stadium in Ames. But still, the ceiling for Spencer Rattler and the ability to rise to the occasion of Brock Purdy. I actually like Iowa State a little bit here just because of the issues Oklahoma still seems to have to fix on defense. But there's nothing to love about Iowa State at the same time after what we've seen from Louisiana and some of the mistakes last week. So I think it's going to be a tight game. Whatever the spread is, I think I'm going to take the points.
Thank you, Dan. We appreciate it. Have fun for week 5 of the college football season.
Hey, you too. Eat well.
You guys are doing, before you go real quick, you guys are doing so much new stuff on the Solid Verbal. What are some of the videos and some of the other podcasts you guys have added?
Yeah, so we just added a show called Big Boy Bets with Jeff Schwartz, former NFL lineman and current media personality, where it's wagering and it's Jeff just talking about life as a 6'6", 340-pound gentleman trying to navigate the world. And we're doing a bunch more video. We call it the Brew and A, where we crack a beer and talk about college football. It's youtube.com/TheSolidVerbal. So, yeah, we're keeping busy.
Love it. Check it out. The Solid Verbal. Thank you again, Dan. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That's Dan Rubenstein. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Rubenstein. And, you know, Oklahoma, they lost last week to Kansas State, 38-35, one of the better games of the weekend. Radler threw 3 interceptions to go along with the 4 touchdowns. And like Dan was saying, he has a strong arm, but also it's finally Lincoln Riley has a project at quarterback, not a proven commodity who's just going to go get a Heisman Trophy for him when he's had the last couple of seasons.
2 huge matches in the SEC, 2 Texas A&M, Alabama, and then Auburn, Georgia at night. 2 big, big matchups.
Early morning for Chicago's College Tailgate on Saturday. We will be on from 9 to 11 this Saturday talking college football with you. NBA Finals, Game 1, coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.